Good morning. It is 7:42 here on the Mighty 690. It is time for our update with State Senator Virgil Peck, who joins us in studio. Good morning, sir. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, James. Hey, always a privilege to be at KGGF, and we're right at a mighty 69 degrees outside this morning.
That's right.
I just thought I'd throw that out because this is a mighty 690.
That's right. Well, hey, before we begin, of course, I want to give you our condolences here with the loss of your father just less than a week ago now.
Well, thank you, James. Yes, that was a little bit of a surprise. We knew Dad wasn't doing well, but we didn't expect him to pass. But yes, last Saturday evening, got a call that Dad had passed. And it just kind of reminds me and reminds all of us, James, that we're only on this earth for a certain length of time. And Dad was 86, so he lived quite a long life, full life. But no matter how long a person lives on this life, it's but for a brief moment. And then after we pass from this life, there is the next life. So a person needs to make certain that they are ready for the next life. And Dad was, so that's comforting. But I appreciate you saying that. And yeah, he was Virgil Peck. He was born Virgil Peck. But then when I came along, I was Virgil Peck Jr., so he adopted the senior. And then when my son came along, he's Virgil Peck III. So we just really like to confuse things for everyone. But it's kind of like when my son was born, hey, I know how to spell Virgil, so if I name him Virgil, I know how to spell his name.
That's right.
But anyway, I appreciate you saying that.
So we do thank you for coming on by. And, of course, I know that since we've last talked here, well, the filing deadline has passed, of course, with the start of the month. So anything sticking out to you when you take a look at, you know, all these candidates that have filed?
There is. And you are right. We had visited on the Friday just before the filing deadline on Monday. And some things that stand out to me, there are 11 Democrat candidates for U.S. Senate. The seat that Roger Marshall is representing currently for the state of Kansas is up for re-election. Senator Marshall is running. I hope he wins re-election. But 11 Democrats, I found that amazing, that many from one party running for a seat. We've got 7 Republican candidates, Republican with their lieutenant governor candidates. So 7 candidates running for governor on the Republican side and 3 on the Democrat side. So both primaries will be important. We have 2 state Senate seats that are up, which is a little unusual, but the reason they are up, we had a couple state senators resign previous to last session. And so whenever there is an election after a resignation because the seats were filled by the precinct people, those seats are up. So we have 2 state Senate seats. However, one of the seats, only the incumbent is running. All Kansas House seats, all 125 Kansas House seats are up. Something that's frustrating, James, to me is 32 of those 125 seats only have one person running. 32 have only one person running, and some of them are Republican, some are Democrat, they're unopposed. But in any event, I wish we had more people who would be willing to engage in the process, and a lot of these are in rural Kansas. We have 5 state Board of Education seats up for election. Several incumbents decided not to run for re-election to the Kansas State Board of Education. So that just sort of wraps up what's going on. Of course, it's that time of year now, James, where we will start hearing radio ads for candidates for various offices. All statewide offices are up, not only governor, but also attorney general, secretary of state, state insurance commissioner, state treasurer are on the ballot as well. And then all 125 House seats. But it's campaign season, it's election season, so hang on to your hat, it's going to be fun. Speaking of voting, there was a report that was put out, we do have over 273,000 inactive but registered voters in the state of Kansas. 13% of those 273,000. The reason they're on the inactive rolls is some mail was sent to them by the local election office, and the mail was returned as an invalid address. So it might be an invalid address, might be an empty house, a vacant lot, who knows what. But when we have 273,000 of right at 2 million registered voters that are inactive, we need to clean up the voter registration rolls. This just provides an opportunity for mischief. Not saying there is. I believe there may have been some over the years, but it's just challenging, James, and maybe rightfully so, to remove someone from the voter rolls. But once someone has moved out of state, or passed away, their name should be removed from the voter rolls. Just should be automatic to me. And Kansas does have a cooperative agreement with a few states, whereas if someone moves from Kansas, they register in that state will notify us that they're registered. We can't automatically remove them from voter registration rolls. And vice versa, if someone moves into Kansas, registers, and they say they were previously registered in a state we have a co-op with, we'll let that state know. Federal law says you cannot remove someone from a voter registration roll unless they miss two federal elections. Well, that's quite a long time. But I just thought I would mention that because I'm one of those that have long said, hey, we need to clean up the voter registration rolls. And one reason, whenever I mail out information, whether it's during campaign season or whenever I mail out a survey, it is amazing how much returned mail I get as undeliverable. And so that tells me we've got a lot of registered voters that aren't voting, can't vote. Someone could vote, and that's where the mischief may come in.
Sure. We're speaking with State Senator Virgil Peck. Virgil, I know we do have someone who has a question for you. I don't know if you'd like to entertain a question here this morning.
We'll always try to answer a question,
all right,
James.
Put your headphones on here. Let's see. Good morning, caller. What's your question for State Senator Virgil Peck?
Ryan, I appreciate you asking that question. The answer is no. The package we gave the Chiefs is way, way too generous for in favor of the Chiefs and not favorable for the voters or for taxpayers of the state of Kansas. That's an issue, James, we could talk about a long time about the Star Bond and what we did for the Chiefs there. Them coming to Kansas, I'm excited about that. I've been a Chiefs fan since 1968, but I don't think that we should have done what we did and given them all of the perks that we gave them. So I did not support that. I voted against it. I spoke against it on the Senate floor. And so I appreciate him asking that. But it was just frustrating to me that that one passed the way it did. However, on that topic, James, this is just Virgil Peck's opinion. It's nothing official. I can't help but wonder if we have a particular candidate or candidates who win the nomination for governor, who are our next governor. We will have a new governor in January. This deal with the Chiefs is not 100% a done deal. Yeah, it's way down the road. No stopping it. However, the Chiefs could stop it. They could back out. And if we get a governor they don't like, that's not supportive of the deal, there's always that potential that it may reverse course. I don't expect that, but I just thought I'd throw that out as a possibility.
Very good. So I know that we also do have, some new programs coming out that you want to talk a little bit about, and also an event that's coming up as well here at the Civic Center.
Yep. I'll go ahead and hit the Civic Center first, and then I'll get to some programs, because July 1 is when most new bills will take effect. New legislation takes effect that we passed during the legislative session. This weekend, if anyone's not aware, is Flag Day. June 14th is always Flag Day, and that's on a Sunday, so fly a flag maybe all weekend. But tomorrow, June the 13th, there will be an informational presentation at the Civic Center in Independence. This is a free event, and it's open to any person who wants to show up, but it's going to be informational regarding the constitutional amendment that will be on the August 4th ballot. There's already a lot of confusion and misinformation being spread about what that will or will not do, but that measure on the ballot, that proposed constitutional amendment, would change the way the Supreme Court justices in the state of Kansas are selected. You and I talked about this last time I was on the air, so I won't go into great detail, but it's determined by lawyers. We currently have a vacancy on the Kansas Supreme Court, as a reminder. When I was in previously, we had a vacancy. We still have a vacancy. The governor has not appointed someone to that position. But at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning at the Civic Center in Independence, enter on the north side of the building. So it's a two-hour event, 11 to 1. Lunch is being provided, so it's not going to cost anything. Go have a free lunch, receive some free information. I will be there for a while. And then I will be headed then to Sedan, to Chautauqua County. They're also having an event, whereas Congressman Estes will be in Sedan. The Chautauqua County GOP has asked me to provide some information about the ballot question, so I'll be speaking about the ballot question. But again, tomorrow, Independence Civic Center, 11 to 1, free lunch and information regarding a constitutional amendment on the August 4th ballot. Now, something that I'm excited about, don't get excited about what's going on legislative-wise very often. However, since 2008, I very first decided it's time for us to do step up and do some things to benefit disabled veterans in the state of Kansas. Introduced legislation a few times over the years, never got it through until finally in 2024, the legislature passed legislation that provides disabled veterans with a sales tax exemption. Now, we passed it in 2024, but it doesn't kick in until July the 1st of 2026. Well, we're almost there. We are June the 12th, so we're getting close. Now, the reason I bring this up, not only just to talk about the fact that we got that accomplished, it's on the books, it's going to happen, but for disabled veterans, any disabled veteran needs to apply for an exemption. The Department of Revenue is suggesting that it be done online. The website is ksrevenue.gov. Again, ksrevenue.gov. Can go online. There's an application. You do a few clicks, but then it's an application you can fill out online and submit it. Or you can print off the form. It's form K97. K as in Kansas, 97 is the form. You can print it off and send it to the Department of Revenue. A veteran does need to submit with their application a VA letter or benefit summary letter and their DD-214 form, and proving that they are indeed a disabled veteran has to be 100% currently. Now, we may improve upon this in the future, but it's one of those things where I was wanting to get something on the books, so right now it's 100% disabled veteran. Now, once the program is in place, if a veteran is on the program, they pass away, their spouse will continue to be eligible for the sales tax exemption. Now, this does not include purchases for motor vehicles, cars, trucks, so forth, alcohol, tobacco, electronic cigarettes, or purchases made for the production of income. So in other words, if a disabled veteran has something that they do, they buy a product, and then they either adjust it or change it a little bit and then sell it, those purchases are not going to be exempt through this veterans program. Maybe through their business it could be. But again, disabled veterans, July the 1st, will be allowed to make purchases in the state of Kansas. The state of Kansas is going to issue an exempt card. It will be like a driver's license size laminated card that merchants will use. They can scan it or they can write down the number. So any purchase, a candy bar at the convenience store, a cup of coffee at McDonald's or Wendy's or wherever, will be sales tax exempt for disabled veterans starting on July the 1st. And I'm really pleased, James, that we finally got this program in place. It's designed for one reason, to say a big thank you to those who served our country and those who became disabled because of their service to the United States. And from me, a heartfelt thank you and gratitude to our veterans, no matter if they're disabled or not, but particularly those who are disabled because they are disabled because of their service. That limits their income in many cases. So got that program in place. If anyone needs more information, they can reach out to myself or, again, go on the website, ksrevenue.gov, and can apply online and get qualified for that program. So good thing there, I think. But there are a lot of laws that are going to take effect on July 1. One, for all of us, it will prohibit, this was Senate Bill 366, will prohibit the use of cell phones in school zones if they have a limited speed zone. And most schools do, particularly during the early morning and then midday when school is out. So you can't use your cell phone in a school zone or in a construction zone when workers are present. So that's a new law. It's always been a good idea to not use your cell phone unless someone's calling you and you need to talk to them. But do not text. That's been a law for quite some time. Do not text while driving. But this now, you can be ticketed for using your cell phone in a school zone or in a construction zone when workers are present. So beware. Put your cell phone down, drive the vehicle, or hand the cell phone to someone else, and they can put it on a speaker, or some people even have it hooked to their car. We also have legislation that's going to kick in, House Bill 2378. This is something I found it a little timely, James, because Sherry talked about the Independent City Commission, and they're talking about squatters at the old ARCO building. But House Bill 2378 will remove, it's the Removal of Squatters Act. It establishes procedures for property owners to request law enforcement to remove squatters from a dwelling by submitting a notarized affidavit. And I have been contacted, James, by individuals who have a house that maybe it's between renters. Well, someone comes in and squats, just takes over the facility, the building, and it's hard to get them out. Well, this is designed to make it easier to get squatters out of your personal property. And we don't have time to go into more. We'll cover those some other time. But there are other bills that will kick in on July the 1st and other laws. And appreciate the opportunity this morning to be on KGGF to visit with you. And look forward to next time and look forward to a great weekend. There are a lot of celebrations going on because of the Flag Day weekend.
Absolutely. State Senator Virgil Peck, you're on the Mighty 690.